As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in Psalm 115. And the first half of the 12th verse, the Lord hath been mindful of us, he will bless us. Psalm 115, the first half of the 12th verse. In this subject, if grace is given to us to open it up aright, you will find there are ocean depths of encouragement for all poor sinners who have the mercy to be born again. Each one, everyone, can say, ought to say, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. Many of you are here before God in the attitude of worship because he has indeed blessed you, so that you have come up desiring to worship God, and you have come with willing feet, and come, if so be, you can get in touch with him as the sinner's friend. It is a great subject. I said there are ocean depths in it. The Lord grant that we may draw a bucketful or so out of it, that preacher and people alike may be helped to thank God and take courage. When you think of the wording of this, it helps you to try to weigh matters up from a right viewpoint. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Strictly speaking, the subject is the mind of the Lord. And now, how can any preacher, though he hopes he is commissioned by divine authority to preach, say much about a subject like that? Think of the mind of the Lord, and that at this time, worldwide, he has every one who desires to trust in him. Everyone is in his mind, and that as an individual. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, them that hope in his mercy. I want to stress this viewpoint of the subject, if the Lord will help me. The Lord hath been mindful of us. And now, speaking with great reverence, what is the mind of the Lord? How are you and I to understand what is the mind of the Lord? You will find in another psalm, it says, he will ever be mindful of his covenant. And strictly speaking, the mind of the Lord is expressed, set forth in every detail in the covenant of grace. And in thinking of that scripture, he will ever be mindful of his covenant. As he sets his mind on every poor sinner born again, he governs that poor sinner's life according to what he has ordained for him or her in the covenant of grace. I know this is a great subject, and it may almost overwhelm you in the contemplation of it, but there is another word here. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. The Lord is mindful of us. you and I should always be mindful of him, mindful of the covenant of grace, mindful of the word of his grace. For his mind is what saith the scriptures, as it is made applicable to you and to me in journeying on through life. You see, this is a very searching word to contemplate. You and I are not always mindful of his covenant, what it proclaims. He hath ordered all things in it for our good and his glory. When things arise in our lives, events we look not for, then you begin to contemplate the events and the things themselves, and to think your own thoughts. But godly David says, be ye mindful always of his covenant, and remember, sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command, so that no event can come into our lives, however hard to be understood it may be, but God can command it to do us good, and that is how he does command it. I will set mine eyes upon them to do them good. And the ultimate issue of the dealings of God with us is to bring us to enter into that oft-quoted scripture, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And as I pondered this subject, hoping I might be helped to preach from it, it opened up another viewpoint of truth to me. I have said somewhat about it in times bygone, but it is a truth that you and I should be ever mindful of. When David said he will ever be mindful of his covenant, then it comes down to your behavior toward him whose covenant it is. Be ye always mindful of his covenant. And now, in the covenant of grace, there are exceeding great and precious promises recorded in the Word of God to encourage poor sinners, whatever their circumstances may be, whatever their cases may be. There is always one, and many more it may be, of the exceeding great and precious promises to encourage you to hope in God as to the outcome of what your circumstances may be, and your case as a poor sinner, desiring to have matters right between your soul and God. But, there is a but. And now you will find no exceeding great and precious promise in the Word of God, but what it is linked up, do listen, to an exceeding great and precious precept. And until you and I, until we are brought in that frame of mind to fulfill the precept, we shall not enter into the fullness of the exceeding great and precious promise, not realize what is set forth in the covenant of grace as to the outcome of the dealings of God with us. How shall I help you to understand that more plainly? I think of this scripture, delight thyself in the Lord. And now that is a precept. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That is the promise. Until you are brought to that frame of mind to delight in the Lord, you will not enter into the fullness of what the promise is. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And then you might think of another one. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And now, that is a precept. But the exceeding great and precious promise is, and he shall bring it to pass. The word it is in italics. Remember that. And therefore you must read it without the it. The translators put the it in to make it read straightforward, but you will have to learn in things experimental often that the it is deleted. And he shall bring to pass. He may not bring to pass just what you have asked him to do in every detail of it, but what he does bring to pass, you will appreciate, and you will say in him doing it, bringing it to pass, he hath done all things well. I wish you would think that matter prayerfully over, as God shall help you. It might help you to a surer standing in the things of God. And now, the Lord hath been mindful of us. Look at the word mindful again. It means the Lord has had his mind full of his concern about us. What an amazing theme to contemplate. And yet the psalmist has recorded it. He was inspired of God to do it. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Alas, how glad we should be if our minds could be full of him. Pondering the things of God to purpose and profit, so that we might say, as David does elsewhere, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. The Lord hath been mindful of us. And now, how are you going to face up to this scripture this Sabbath morning, my dear friends? Are you going to say, I cannot say much about it? Are you going to suggest that you have no real evidence whatever that the Lord hath been mindful of you? Oh, I hope you will not dare to do that. In him we live and move and have our being. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, and because his compassions fail not. The Lord hath been mindful of us. It is put in the past tense. And then, when you look back to see where his mind has been unfolded, and he has opened up his thoughts concerning you, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The Lord hath been mindful of us. And now it means that in his mind he has a perfect knowledge of us. He knows all about us, every detail of the life we are living, and he is controlling it, overruling it, correcting us if need be, but he is ordering all things to do with our lives, that in the ultimate issue we shall be made meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. He is ordering the way that we are going along, so that if we have an ear to hear, we shall sometimes hear what he has to say to us. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, and which leadeth thee in the way in which thou shouldest go. The Lord hath been mindful of us. It denotes his knowledge. Elihu said to Job, he that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. And this is our comfort in the days in which we are living, when hell itself is let loose in the world at large. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. It not only denotes knowledge, but it denotes the love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? If you and I have the mercy, do you look into it, to be shut up in the everlasting covenant, God having recorded our names there and dealing with us as he is in our everyday lives, making his goodness pass before us in life's way? He is saying to us, if you could only listen and hear it, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Trials must and will befall, but oh, with humble faith to see love inscribed upon them all, this is happiness to me, the hymn writer says. And you do get glimpses of what the mind of the Lord is toward you in his dealings, and you can realize that his dealings with you are not in anger, but in his dear covenant love. Then the mind of the Lord not only denotes his knowledge of us and his love toward us, but it embraces his providence. There is an overruling providence that wisely marshals every circumstance. Think that over, dear friends. Every circumstance. Nothing by chance or haphazard. The fictitious power of chance and fortune I defy. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to God's eye. The Lord hath been mindful of us. You and I say sometimes, it is not according to my mind. I've not thought about it. It has been out of my mind altogether. But you must never think of the mind of the Lord from that viewpoint. His eye is ever upon us to do us good and to carry on the good work we humbly hope he has begun in us until the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord hath been mindful of us. If you were to sit down when you have a little leisure, and it would do you good to make some, sit down before God and count your blessings and go back over your life and search out evidence where the Lord hath been mindful of you, you would be surprised at how much more religion you have got that God is the author of than you often fear you do possess. The thing to be concerned about is for you and I to remember the covenant. Ever be mindful of his covenant when things come upon you or yours and they are hard to be understood as to why and they should come, then to be mindful of his covenant and ask the Lord to make plain to you, show me wherefore thou contendest with me. And you will find the answer is this: the flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. When Job asked God, show me wherefore thou contendest with me, what did he say afterwards when things were beginning to be opened up as to what the mind of the Lord was? He knoweth the way that I take. I discern the mind of the Lord in it. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, that is good to be able to ponder these things in our hearts. There is much profit in it. The Lord hath been mindful of us. And now, looking at the subject from another viewpoint, the Trinity is referred to in this subject, the Lord being in large capitals, and that is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit hath been mindful of us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The dear Saviour said to his disciples, the Father himself loveth you, and the Father hath been mindful of us, for if you and I are in the covenant of grace, he put us therein. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and it was God the Father who ordained that number, which no man can number, to be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. And it is a sweet, blessed experience sometimes along life's way when the hand of God is opened up in his dealings and you see his goodness evidently passing before you to dwell upon those words. Your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of. And then for you to be mindful of him in doing it and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Father hath been mindful of us. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his own Son, made of a woman, made under the law. God the Father hath been mindful of us. And then there is a great word, one of the most wonderful words in the wonderful word of God. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This is the word for you to ponder in your hearts. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. A word is a spoken thought. And now how wonderful it is to contemplate that God the Father had that thought in his mind when he ordained that number to be saved, a number which no man can number. He had to make all provision for them to be redeemed from the ruin of the Adam fall. And in that covenant of grace, Jesus Christ, his dear Son, was ordained to be the mediator of it. And that he would come down into this world in the fullness of time, be born a babe by birth mysterious, and God incarnate would be seen among men. Emmanuel, God with us, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. And that was in the mind of God the Father. Here you see, God is love. And I have reminded you recently of that word in Psalm 40, a body hast thou prepared me. The body prepared by the Father assumes and on the kind errand most joyfully comes. Thus Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It was that which was in the mind of God the Father. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his own Son. And now that brings us to how God the Son hath been mindful of us. And he came down to do love's redeeming work. He was ordained to do it. And he came down with willing feet to do it. Born a babe, by birth mysterious. Then he grew up and lived his life, as I have quoted, made of a woman, made under the law. And that law, in our humanity, yet without sin, he kept it. In every jot and tittle of it. And that on behalf of all that vast host, he came down into the world to redeem. It is altogether beyond our minds to conceive it. The majesty, the greatness of what love's redeeming work really was. But do be concerned, my dear friends, that you participate in the blessing of it. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. And I might turn aside and make a comment here. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of his coming down into this world, lying as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, sheltered in a stable? Oh, have you any evidence that he came into the world to save you? Have you ever been concerned about it? Have you any tokens for good? There was no room for him in the inn, but is there room for him in your heart? Did you ever feel like one hymn writer says, "Enter my heart, Redeemer blessed, enter, O ever-honored guest, not for a transient hour alone, O come and fix thy lasting throne." The Lord hath been mindful of us. And now, try to think, that's all you can do, but try to think what love's redeeming work was, the magnitude of it. Jesus Christ, as verily man, lived under the law, as I said, and he kept it in every jot and tittle of what the law demands from every sinner born into the world and ordained to life eternal. Millions untold. And he kept the law on their behalf as verily man. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. In him we then perfection view. The saints in him are perfect too. And now this is what I want to emphasize. All the while he was doing love's redeeming work, living under the law, he had in his mind every one individually of that number no man can number whom he came down into the world to save. Language is altogether too poverty stricken to say about it what really ought to be said, but do ask God to enlarge your hearts that you may meditate upon it, and do have some sure work that when he came down into the world to save sinners, he came into the world to save you. The Lord hath been mindful of us. The dear Son of God hath been mindful of us. And then we think of Jesus Christ, how he kept the law and said at the end of his lovely life, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. And Christ has become the end of the law for righteousness to every one which believeth. And he went up Calvary's hill with willing feet, his mind all the while on the good that would come to the people whom he had come down into the world to live under the law on their behalf. And as the law saith, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, he went up to die in their stead. Christ died for our sins. You say, I wish I could believe it. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask him for faith as a grain of mustard seed, that you may be helped to encourage your soul in God, that he did die for poor sinners like you. And remember this, whatever the devil may suggest about you having no interest in it, the devil is not omniscient. I have told you that hundreds of times in my long ministry. I wish you would believe it. It would help you to resist the devil and not to credit his lies. Think of this word. Christ died for the ungodly. And you can surely come in there if you are a sinner born again. And then there is another viewpoint of it. The hymn writer's viewpoint. I like it very much. Did Jesus die and not for me? Am I forbade to seek my God? Is there not pardon full and free through Jesus' precious blood? Yes, there is. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord hath been mindful of us, the Father, the Son. And now the dear Son of God is in heaven at his Father's right hand. He has every one of that people living in the world at the present time, as sinners born again, on whose behalf he came down into the world to seek and to save. His eye runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of all them whose heart is perfect toward him. That is to say, every sinner who is honest before God and sincere in his approaches, that he might win Christ and be found in him. The Lord hath been mindful of us. And now, what shall we say about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit hath been mindful of us. There are some in this assembly, the great majority, I should like to feel, and I believe I do feel it, of whom it can be said, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And now that is the greatest mercy that can befall you, to have some evidence that the Lord hath been mindful of us. The Spirit of God has not passed us by, but has created in us a clean heart, a new heart, enabled us to be after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, begotten in us an aching void which this world cannot fill. The Lord hath been mindful of us. The Holy Spirit hath been mindful. And when that good work is begun in a poor sinner's breast, he is the glorious author of it. And he alone can continue it, maintain it, and bring it to the desired end, making the sinner meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. But what is the greatest evidence that the Spirit of God hath been mindful of us? The Holy Bible, book divine, is the greatest evidence. And you should say more often than you do, thank you to God that you have the Holy Bible to look into and search into matters as to what saith the Scriptures concerning the same matters to do in your everyday lives. And it is good when you can feel, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. the Lord hath been mindful of us. And now the Holy Spirit took 1600 years to gather together what the Word of God contains. And through those ages, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit to do so. And you must never let go. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Holy Bible, book divine. God spake all these words. And now, the Lord hath been mindful of us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity. And then, this word goes on. He will bless us. Can you say that? The Lord hath been mindful of us. He has blessed us. And having blessed us, he will bless us. He will never leave off blessing us once he begins to do it. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. A wonderful mercy to be inside this little word, us. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. Are you inside it or outside as yet? I say as yet because God may make you manifest to be inside ere you die. I hope he will if at the present time you are outside. The time will come when you will see what an amazing mercy it is for the people that are shut up in this little word, us. But I hope you will not realize what that mercy is too late. And that is when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and feel you are outside this little word, us. And instead of hearing from the dear Savior, come ye blessed, you will hear, depart from me, ye cursed. A very solemn consideration. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. And now you observe, there is the past experience. The Lord hath been mindful of us. The second section of the subject goes into the future. What he has been pleased to do for us, he will continue to do. He is Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. He will bless us. He is determined to bless us. What did he say to Abraham? A very striking expression. In blessing, I will bless thee. That is to say, free and full and flowing o'er, beyond words to describe. In blessing thee, I will bless thee. Because he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. He will bless us. He is determined to do it. And now, when we begin to think of this subject from that viewpoint, he will bless us. Where will he bless us? He will bless us in all the appointed means of grace, as you make a right use of them, and are mindful of his covenant concerning them. In all places where I record my name, there will I come and bless thee. The first evidence of being blessed is when you find something has happened within which you had never known or felt before, when the eyes of the blind shall be opened. It was a great testimony the blind man made, as recorded in John's Gospel. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I can see. Can you? Are you still blind as you were born? Are the things of God of no concern whatever to you? Or have your eyes been opened to see Jesus is the one thing needful? I without him perish must. Gracious Spirit, make me heedful. Help me in his name to trust, and with pleasure in him as my portion boast. He will bless us. He will grant us eyes to see what we are by nature, how sad our state by nature is. He will unfold to us that experience recorded by Isaiah, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. He will bless us. And now the next thing is this. He will give us ears to hear what he has to say in the gospel. How many sermons some of you have heard? It runs into thousands, and you have never heard the gospel yet. That is a very great statement for a preacher to make. But if you are still living as you were born, that is the truth about you. From baby days on, you have been brought up under the gospel. You have heard it. And you have not heard it. The Savior said to his disciples, "Blessed are your ears, for they hear." And you go back to when you first of all began to listen to the gospel. You should be able to remember when you first heard the gospel and it struck fire in your heart. And you began to be illuminated from that time. And you felt there was a reality in it that you wished to enter into. The gospel began to be attractive to you. Although maybe in your longings to enter into it, you oftentimes could not understand much of the gospel in the proclamation of it. For as yet you were in the infant class, asking the way to Zion, with your faces thitherward. And that may be the case, I'm afraid, with some of you nowadays. For I often wish I could preach the gospel more in the simplicity of it, that those of you who are wanting to hear to purpose and profit might be helped to do so. But that really depends on this. He will bless us. And if he has given you an ear to hear, the day is dawning when you will hear what your soul longs to know and feel. And meanwhile, take comfort inasmuch the soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. And this might help you. You sometimes hear the gospel, and you know it is the gospel. You believe it to be good tidings of great joy. You believe it to be a blessing indeed. But you cannot enter into it in your own soul's experience, and yet you are a sinner born again. You are found under the gospel, and you hear it, but not as your soul desires. And now even in that experience, you should be able to find something wherein you can take courage. For to have that consciousness of being cast down and disappointed because you do not find the gospel sometimes to be good tidings of great joy in your soul's experience, or it does not arise from what you are by nature. It can only be known and felt where God has wrought a miracle. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, I will give you a heart of flesh. Those of us who preach the gospel would be glad if at all times when it is preached that poor sinners got good. But here is the sovereignty of God made manifest. And that word comes in that I read to you. Be ye mindful always of his covenant. And that is the preparation of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And sometimes if you come up to worship God and you seem to get no particular help, you have the pleasure of being where you love to be amongst people taught of God and found in the attitude of worship, but when you seek to beat out what you have gleaned, it seems to be very little. And now, there is another side to that. I will only give it to you in a question. Is there not a cause? And now, it is not to do with God, not to do with the preacher, because the preacher has it in his heart that every one of you born again should have a blessing every time you come. Therefore, there is something to be looked into, examined before God, and matters made right between your soul and God. Then your heart prepared and your ear opened, you will get what your soul desires under the gospel, and say, the watchmen that go about the city, they found me. I had no thought of preaching along this line of things, but you must follow it along. It may be a help to some of you. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. I said he will bless us in his means of grace. Therefore, you should ever be found making a right use, if so be you may get some good for your soul in the means of grace. Always remembering, while we in the means are found, we still alone on thee depend to make the gospel's joyful sound effectual to the promised end. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. And now, he will not only bless us by calling us by his grace, quickening our souls into life. He will make his goodness to go before us. He will bless us with supplies. My God shall supply all your need out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then he will not only bless us by making his goodness pass before us. And when you look back over your life as you have lived it, you know that he has indeed been mindful of you altogether beyond what your mind could conceive the Lord might be pleased to do for you and yours. If you once begin to get your mind set on how the Lord has been mindful of you, you will find it will be an enlarging in your soul's experience, for he has done so much for you and been mindful of you. Sometimes, even when you were not being mindful of him, he has followed you when you have erred and strayed like a lost sheep, and he has blessed you then by correcting you and bringing you back to where you should be, following him as the good shepherd leads in the way you should go. He will bless us. He will bless us with supplies. He will bless us by going before us to order our goings, so that you can see a divine hand has ordained the way that you are going on in life's journey. The cloud has moved to go before you, and only where the cloud moves like that will you find the manna fall to satisfy your soul's needs. And remember the covenant again, ordered in all things and sure. And it means ordered that he will bless us in the ordering. And the great thing is when you can feel a sweet submission to the will of God, that whatever His will is for you to be or to do, you should say feelingly, "Thy will, not mine, be done." And He will bless us along life's way by protecting us from all ill and evil, so that it shall not undo us. He will say sometimes to those which come against us, our enemies, earth and hell combined, "Thus far shalt thou go, and no further." What though they fear each dread alarm, tried and severely tossed, upheld by God's almighty arm, none shall e'er be lost. He will bless us with His merciful protection, and making His goodness pass before us. And then there is just one more thing to say. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. And now the psalmist says in another psalm, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." And that is just how you will feel when you are helped to sit down before God, as I said earlier on, and contemplate His dealings with you. You will find His dealings have been ordered at all times for your good and His glory. And whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The Lord hath been mindful of us. What you and I need is grace to superabound over all that we are by nature, that we may ever be mindful of Him, that we may serve Him, love Him, follow Him, and eventually enter into that beautiful scripture, "He that followeth after me, where I am, there also shall my servant be." Amen.